When you take these drugs in three dimensions, you can cast the will by force using these brain cells.
Welcome to Nutshell Online. This is Dave Noel. Joining me today is Rod Weatherby and Lydia Shaw.
Hi.
Hello.
Awesome. Okay. What's coming up first there, Rod? What do you got for us?
We got a little story about a cell phone tower in Prince Edward Island.
Lovely rural PEI.
Yeah.
Why? What's up?
There's a group of residents living near the University of Prince Edward Island where Rogers proposed to erect a cell phone tower, and they're afraid that could be the cause of potential health problems.
Okay. I understand that you have an article written for this, or?
I do.
Okay. You want to read it up?
I will do so.
Cool.
As you may be aware, at least if you live on Prince Edward Island, or used to live in Prince Edward Island and read The Guardian online all the time, there's a group of residents up in arms over Rogers erecting a cell phone tower near their homes. Rogers had been planning to do this for some time. Work was halted briefly by Charlottetown City Council, but earlier this year, Rogers applied to Industry Canada to have the decision quashed. Rogers was successful, and this spring, construction on the tower started between the University of Prince Edward Island and the Charlottetown Mall. If you're familiar with Charlottetown, it's behind people's homes. Local residents are concerned about the effect the electromagnetic field or radio frequencies produced by the tower will have on their health. They are concerned about an increased risk of cancer, a reasonable enough issue to be concerned about. However, there's not a great deal of evidence to back up this claim. Electromagnetic radiation is classified into different types according to the frequency of its wave. These types include, in order of increasing frequency and decreasing wavelength, radio waves, microwaves, terahertz radiation, infrared radiation, visible light, ultraviolet radiation, X-rays, and gamma rays. Cellular phones operate at the radio frequency part of the spectrum. This is non-ionizing radiation. Other examples of non-ionizing radiation include AM and FM radio waves, microwaves, and infrared waves from heat lamps. Unlike X-rays and gamma rays, which are examples of ionizing radiation and can actually cause cancer, radio waves have too little energy to break the bonds that hold molecules, such as DNA, in cells together. And since radio frequency contains relatively low energy, it doesn't enter tissue. However, at very high levels of exposure, radio frequency can cause the warming of tissues, much as the previously mentioned heat lamp does. Exposure to radio waves from cellular phone antennas is slight for several reasons. The power levels are relatively low. The antennas are mounted high above the ground, and the signals are transmitted intermittently rather than constantly. Electromagnetic fields are everywhere. Our bodies actually generate electromagnetic fields internally as well as externally. And again, the collision between two molecules is an electrical event. Since there is already electrical activity inside the human body, what does this mean for radio waves emitted by cellular phone towers? Dr. Robert Park of the American Physical Society is quoted in the New York Times as saying,
"All known cancer-inducing agents, including radiation, certain chemicals, and a few viruses, act by breaking chemical bonds, producing mutant strands of DNA. Not until the ultraviolet region of the electromagnetic spectrum is reached, beyond visible light, beyond infrared, and far, far beyond microwaves, do photons have sufficient energy to break chemical bonds. Microwave photons heat tissue, but they do not come close to the energy needed to break chemical bonds, no matter how intense the radiation."
So is there enough energy in this type of electromagnetic radiation for it to cause cancer? Dr. Park doesn't think so, neither does the American Physical Society. You need some pretty serious photon energy to break molecular bonds. Photon energy is measured in electron volts. X-rays have about 1,000 electron volts of energy, while the photon energy of radio waves from cellular phone towers is about 1/1,000th of a single electron volt. This is accepted in the scientific community as not enough to alter molecules in the body. So back to the issue in Charlottetown. The problem is residents aren't willing to accept any evidence that the tower is harmless, and they've deliberately, if unconsciously, latched on to studies that only show harm or possible harm. The anti-tower folks keep waving around one study in particular. This is the study mentioned in all the newspaper articles on the issue. Unfortunately, the meat of the study is never mentioned in The Guardian, at any rate. Every article simply says, a German study found a connection between cell towers and cancer levels. I wouldn't go so far as to say there is a connection, or if there is one, it's not what you would expect. The study is called The Influence of Being Physically Near a Cell Tower Transmission Mast on the Incidence of Cancer. Apart from cherry-picking a single base station, the study states that the average age for developing cancer in the dangerous inner zone near the cell tower is 64.1 years. And it's 72.6 years on the outside of this so-called dangerous zone. However, the study also mentions that the average age for developing cancer is 66.5 years for Germany as a whole. So the average age of developing cancer in the dangerous inner zone is slightly younger than the German average. As the WHO fact sheet on base stations and wireless technology states, over 1.4 million base stations exist worldwide, and the number is increasing significantly with the introduction of third-generation technology. Given the widespread presence of base stations in the environment, it's expected that possible cancer clusters will occur near base stations merely by chance. In the end, there's more EMF exposure from radio and TV, and from the wiring in our homes and the electrical appliances we use, than from our cell phones or Wi-Fi. We can't avoid electromagnetic radiation. It's everywhere. We get exposed to it constantly from sunlight, commercial radio, the television transmissions, police transmissions, walkie-talkies, and the list goes on. There are already numerous towers on Prince Edward Island and in Charlottetown. As a matter of fact, there's a similar tower to the one being erected by Rogers at the top of the Alliant building on the corner of Queen Street and Belvedere Avenue. It's been there for years and is within spitting distance of hundreds of homes. Now, if the residents had said the tower would ruin their view of the back of the mall, they might have had a better argument.
And that's that?
And that's that.
You actually brought up an interesting point with the German study.
Yeah.
Studies aren't necessarily the same as clinical trials or clinical tests. I could go onto the internet for 5 minutes and Google something and say, my studies have shown, and actually have that completely legal wording. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I've followed any kind of scientific due process in order to come to these findings.
It's also interesting to note that the German study, and a couple of other studies which I haven't referenced, the manner in which they were conducted is not entirely sound. They use self-reporting studies rather than using a statistical analysis of health problems experienced in the area through medical records, using both before and after cell towers have been erected.
Yeah, trying to eliminate some of those extraneous variables.
Yeah. And when you have people self-reporting, the very nature of the questionnaire, I think, can also cause people to suddenly think, oh, well, maybe there is something to this, and perhaps my headaches are caused by the cell tower, and so they've included that in the German study.
Hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the German study was based on one cell tower cluster as opposed to a number of different cell towers as well. They were simply studying the people underneath
one cell mast,
not under multiples.
That's right.
So statistically, the information is very bad.
Yeah. Well, how can you base a study, like an accurate study, with a sample case of one? That's like saying, as soon as I open my mouth, a car horn beeps in the distance. Therefore, my opening my mouth, statistically, 100% of the time, means car horns are going to go off.
Absolutely.
You know, if you just cherry pick that one little, you know, that's retarded. It's kind of interesting. One of the things that I've noticed, actually, people play a lot with statistical analysis and try to figure out different ways to bend the numbers to their will. But if you have a large enough data set and you don't do any cherry picking, and you take all of your proper variables into account, you still end up with statistical noise and little bits of anomalies and stuff that have to be discounted by having someone else repeat your study. That's the whole basis of scientific peer review. So it doesn't make any sense to take the face value of one study that was done in one country with such a small sample size and actually base the entire infrastructure of your community on that.
What I find interesting, though, is the use of this study in particular, because this is the one that's mentioned most often in the paper and in the television regarding the story. The people who are using the study, the citizens who live around the tower, I mean, they're very sincere in how they feel about this tower. They're very upset about it. But they're making a couple of logical fallacies as well as statistical fallacies, and they're arguing from emotion. An argument from emotion. And they're also arguing from the popularity of the belief.
Ah, yeah.
Right.
Well, they came to the notion with the belief, and now they're looking for statistics and studies to back them up. So they're not going to be quite as discerning about which studies they're looking at. Part of the problem with this one.
Fallacy.
Part of the problem with this particular group of reportage, if you're talking about the articles, when they're referencing a German study, there's very little information about what the German study was actually studying, because most people aren't looking for in-depth information. They're really just looking for the gist. And what ends up happening is the gist of this study is that it probably causes cancer. And that's a fallacy all by itself, because it's really just pulling statistics about who has cancer and who doesn't, not what caused it. But people are willing to look at the reportage and say, oh, the gist of this is that the tower will cause cancer.
when you get into just, you're leaving yourself wide open to the interpretation of somebody who doesn't have a scientific background to give you their professional analysis, quote fingers included, into how they perceive the problem to be. And if they're wrong in any way, then you're all of a sudden making some valuable life decisions based on completely false arguments. Don't trust the media.
The other problem that a lot of the press runs into is you're right, they're not science literate. Most of us aren't. When you go to journalism school, you're always taught to get balance. But there's a problem right now in journalism where there's this false balance dilemma, where if you have a group of people saying one thing, well, you have to find the opposite extreme of that. Mm. And that happens so often in newspaper stories where if they have a story on any claim that's made, and it's mostly to do with health, anyone that's science-based or at least based on sound studies, reporters will often find the exact opposite for balance. Mm.
No matter how crackpotty it might be.
Yeah. When you have Health Canada saying, pasteurize your milk, and then you have the farmer here in Ontario saying it doesn't need to be. See, it's a false balance. That's not a sound.
Whereas 99% of the information out there is saying that pasteurized milk is actually the healthy way to be. And you have 1% of the population that's saying, no, non-pasteurized milk is fine. You're creating a 50-50 split in your article. And it creates this kind of unwitting balance. Like, it might be a 50-50 balance in your story, but it's not actually the reflection of...
Yeah, it's not the representation by population that we'd expect it to be. Yeah.
No, although sometimes the majority is wrong too.
and also,
sometimes the accepted argument is actually not what's correct.
It is a big problem in journalism today. It's lazy journalism when you're presented with a story and you need to find the opposite opinion. And this is what happens. So
do you actually need, like, as a journalist, do you actually need to find the opposite opinion? Like, why is it no longer acceptable to form your own opinion and run with that?
Well, it depends. If you're doing editorial, you certainly can. I think that reporters who aren't editorializing, who are actually just doing straight reporting, they can mold their stories in such a way that it's truly balanced and not this false balance. You don't want to editorialize as a straight reporter reporting the facts, but you have to make sure that those facts that you are reporting are sound, and that the balance that you found with the opposing sides, if there are opposing sides, is valid and not sensational or false.
Although the sensational articles are the ones that grab the headlines.
Oh, absolutely.
Top billing.
The ones I read first off, so
yeah.
I'm as guilty as everybody else.
The World News was around for so long. Everybody knew it wasn't right, but it sure was sensational.
What I find interesting is that friends of mine and other people that you meet every day who are all reasonably intelligent people can look at the same story, like the cell phone tower issue in Charlottetown, and have completely divergent opinions as to the science or the health background that they're talking about. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions too, but as soon as I heard people complaining about, oh, it's going to cause cancer, I thought that sounded bogus. So I tried to educate myself about it. Other people hear that and go, oh, isn't that terrible? We have to do something about it.
Yeah.
There's two different reactions, obviously. I don't think it's a matter of emotion versus rationality. I think they're both emotional responses. It's just the way you get to your answer is different. For the most part, I don't think people are being deliberately false. I don't think they're trying to rip people off. There certainly are rip-off artists.
Yeah.
But like I said, most of the people in the cell phone tower issue, maybe even the people who wrote the study, I don't know them, you know, and other experts that they've spoken to, they're sincere. They're not trying to make money. They honestly believe that this is what the case is.
I can't imagine that there's a commercial angle to stopping the Rogers cell phone tower.
Unless somebody's selling a lot of tin cans and string.
Or tinfoil hats.
Tinfoil hats.
Yeah.
You should put those on the website.
I probably should. We can sell them.
Absolutely.
You know, this will be like cancer-free cell phone technology. If you want to surf the internet, though, you have to learn how to talk like a modem. You know, you have to be able to do that at a moment's notice.
And the Wi-Fi causes cancer.
Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just texting. Sorry.
And that's where it all fell down. Which, speaking of which, in amongst all of the studies and the people complaining about the cell phone tower and the health risks involved, the only real health risk is if it falls on you.
If you want to contact us for any reason, you can reach us at info@nutshellonline.com. If you've been to the website, it's just nutshellonline, all one word, .com. We've come to an end of Nutshell Online. Thank you very much for listening. I'm your host, Dave Noel. Joining me today was Rod Weatherby and Lydia Shaw.